20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Appreciate you guys being here. Today, we are going to be looking at how the Packers could potentially, theoretically, take a step back in 2024. Now, there's a reason we're doing this. We'll get there in just a moment. Before we get there, a huge shout out to Felipe De Paula for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member all the way from down in Brazil. Appreciate you signing up. If you haven't yet checked out the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships, now is a great time to do so. Four different tiers that are available to you guys. Get you a lot of different options, some fun stuff that's available, but you're going to get access to a lot of members-only videos, some Q&As. You're certainly going to get access to videos before anyone else gets them, so definitely worth checking out. And again, Felipe, appreciate you signing up. Now, today, again, is part two of our three-part series. And today's episode is going to be going over what sort of the blueprint would be or what warning signs there could potentially be for the Packers taking a step back in 2024. Now, yesterday, if you're looking for more of the positive side of things, maybe you don't want to hear about how the Packers could take a step back. Well, yesterday's video is probably a little bit more up your alley. Yesterday's video, we went over how the Packers will win the Super Bowl in 2024 and what sort of things would need to go right in order for that to happen. But the reason I like going through these, and by the way, tomorrow's episode will be sort of realistic expectations and some of the things that we can probably bank on either happening or, you know, kind of the focal points of the season that will cause it to, you know, turn one way or the other. But today, I want to look at this because I think we will get a feel for some of those warning signs through the course of the season. If things don't change, if they don't get better, these are all the things, the watchouts, if you will, the red flags, if you will, that you kind of want to be aware of through the course of the season. Here's what happens every single year. Every single year, your season ends, and there's, unless you won the Super Bowl, there's that feeling of, you know, disappointment. And then very quickly, you turn the page and you get into the offseason and you get to some coaching changes and Jeff Hafley's hired and you start to feel excited. And then you get to free agency and you pick up a Josh Jacobs and a Xavier McKinney and you get more excited. Then a draft comes and you get a bunch of new players that you get very excited about and hope springs eternal. And you get to training camp and preseason and everything seems to be trending in the right direction. And then all of a sudden the regular season comes and it comes and it goes very quickly. And there are going to, you know, we forget that there are going to be challenges. There are going to be frustrating moments. As much as we want everything to go swimmingly and perfectly, it's not going to go that way. It just isn't. There are going to be issues through the course of this season that the Packers are going to have to try and navigate. And today, what we're looking at is what are some of those things that could go wrong? If I, again, jumped in the hot tub time machine and went to the end of the year and I told you, wow, not only did the Packers not compete for a Super Bowl, not only did they not become the same playoff team they were a season ago, but they actually took a step backwards. I'm not saying they're going to be a 3-14 team or something like that. I'm not saying they're going to go 0-17, but there are certainly ways that the Packers could take a step back, finish maybe 8-9, or maybe they go 9-8 again, but don't make the playoffs this time around. And if so, there will be certain things that will have taken place in order to get to that situation. So again, just recapping quick, yesterday's was the blueprint on how you get to the Super Bowl and how you win that Super Bowl. Today's is sort of the watch out signs to hopefully avoid for the Packers in order so that they don't take that step back. And then tomorrow again will be those realistic expectations as we look at what we should expect from this Packers team in 2024. So the one thing I want to say here is I'm not trying to just repeat the opposite of yesterday's things, right? I could just go the opposite direction and everything that we talked about for how to win the Super Bowl, well, just don't do those things. And then you're probably going to get into a regression situation. So it's not going to be just that, but clearly, and obviously there are going to be some things that do repeat from yesterday that we're going to go over today. And number one, it's the clear one, it's the obvious one again, is just injuries. And it doesn't need to be discussed ad nauseum here. We just need to recognize the fact that it's the easiest and simplest explanation. But if the Packers have the wrong injuries at the wrong time for the wrong reasons, they could easily have a situation in which they're worse in 2024 than they were in 2023. The entire season is a game of NFL injury roulette. And you are just praying that when that wheel is spinning around, it doesn't land on 10, that it doesn't land on 23, that it doesn't land on 52, that you get the point. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be multiple injuries. Guys will end up on IR. Guys will miss multiple weeks. It just can't be the wrong guys. And if it is the wrong guys for extended period of time, you're just going to be worse more often than not. Like I said yesterday, it's not always a kiss of death. The 2010 team had a ton of devastating injuries, and they found a way to next man up the entire situation and still go on and win a Super Bowl. So this team does have the ability to withstand some injuries, but there are certain injuries that are going to make it much harder than others, and they do need to have some injury luck. If they do not, if they have bad injury luck, that could easily be the biggest reason why they would take a step back in 2024. Number two on the list is the weight of expectations. We've talked about this quite a bit. It is one thing when you go into a 2023 season with basically what amounts to house money. Nobody had expectations for these Green Bay Packers. Or if they did, the expectation was they were going to finish third or fourth in the division. They weren't going to be a contender in the conference. They weren't going to be a playoff team. Was Jordan Love even going to be a good starter? The expectations were way down there. And like I said, for the most part, people just kind of said, we'll see. There was no high-end expectations that this team had to go out and be a really good team from day one. Everyone sort of expected that there was going to be a growth period for the Packers in 2023 with the first year under Jordan Love after trading away the face of the franchise and Aaron Rodgers. There had to have been some sort of transition year, right? Well, there wasn't. They go to the playoffs and they had every right to win that game against San Francisco and potentially go into an NFC Championship game and go from there. Who knows? But either way, they exceeded whatever expectations were out there in a pretty significant way. And they showed the world, hey, we've got a quarterback. We're going to have staying power. You're not getting rid of us that quickly. We're going to be a competitive team again for the foreseeable future. But in 2023, there wasn't teams gunning for them. There weren't teams that were studying them. There weren't teams that were, you know, focused on how are we going to beat the Packers. Like they kind of flew under the radar for a huge chunk of the season. Even midway through, they picked up those few wins, but then they immediately dropped a couple bad ones, Tampa, New York. Like, there was never, a feel from the entire NFL of like, oh, this Packers team is one to be feared. Now you go into a brand new season, and not only are there expectations, there are certainly playoff expectations. There are some Super Bowl expectations that are out there. There's some MVP expectations that are out there. It's a totally different ballgame. And while I believe the Packers are set up and honed in and focused on just being the best version of the Green Bay Packers, and they'll let all that other expectation crap go to the side, it will be different. Teams will come prepared far more for the Packers this year than what they were a season ago. This is going to be a difficult task for this 2024 Packers team. And there are those that are going to not believe too. They're going to believe that the Packers were just a flash in the pan, that Jordan Love was just a flash in the pan. They're going to have to go out and prove themselves in that regard as well. So expectations are definitely going to be different. And now how do they handle those? Do they show up prepared, ready to go and working even harder this year? Because if they don't, you know, teams aren't going to take them lightly. And they're going to lose some of those games that maybe they won a season ago. If they crumble under the weight of those expectations, well, that's going to be a different experience than what we saw in 2023 and another way in which this team could take a step back in 2024. Number three on my list, turnovers. I don't know if you know this. Packers had 18 giveaways in 2023. That was the sixth fewest in the entire NFL. They were extremely good at taking care of the football. Very, very few turnovers. For comparison's sake, the Browns led the league with 37. The Vikings were second with 34. I mean, that completely changes everything. If you're turning the ball over twice per game rather than once, imagine what that does to your record. Now, there's nothing to indicate that the Packers are now going to be a worse turnover team in 2024. In fact, you could probably make the argument that they're set up to get more turnovers on the defensive side, and they really should not have more turnovers on the offensive side. But we know that turnovers can somewhat be, I don't want to say lucky or fluky, but sometimes a ball just bounces away that it should or shouldn't, and that can change a turnover here or there. They can kind of come in bunches. They can go in bunches. You don't always know exactly when those are going to come and go. If Green Bay takes a major step back from a turnover standpoint, Love throws a few more picks. Marshawn Lloyd's had some fumble issues in college. Could that be something that has a effect in the NFL and could potentially cause some turnovers for Green Bay? Yeah, those are the things that we're going to have to monitor. But if they all of a sudden go from 18 giveaways in 2023, even to 24, 25 in 2024, that's going to change some things. That could easily swing the outcome of two or three games in the wrong direction. You go from a 9-8 team to a 7-10 team, very quickly by just a handful of more turnovers. So that's going to be something that they're going to have to continue to be really good at and hopefully improve on, giving the ball away fewer times and taking the ball away more. They could even be better, but they were already a very good team from a giveaway standpoint. And if that changes, again, that could be another reason why this team is different and maybe worse in 2024. Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff, and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family, is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes, and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Number four is regression. We love to talk about second-year jumps. We did a whole episode on it. However, Green Bay has also been known for some second-year regression. Eric Stokes is a phenomenal example of this. Eric Stokes looked great as a rookie. I mean, he looked really good. He looked like he was going to be a long-term starter for the Packers. Covered a lot of number one wide receivers that year as a true, pure rookie corner. And then year two comes around, and even before we get to injury stuff, that we don't even have to talk about injury stuff here for Stokes. Prior to injury, he took a massive step back in year two. Did not look like a starting caliber corner prior to that injury. And then, of course, had the injury issues after that. That was a significant step back for Eric Stokes. Josh Myers. I would argue Josh Myers is another one of those. Now, I still to this day think his rookie season was his best season. And then in year two, I thought he took a pretty significant step back. You know, we've seen it in a variety of different players. Think back to Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins. Those guys put together pretty decent rookie seasons. The second year, not so much. Doesn't always just happen in a second year either. Haha, Clinton Dix was somebody who won, second team All-Pro? And then the year after that, took a monumental step back and never got it back. Traded to Washington, didn't play well there. Goes to Chicago, didn't play well there. He went from a second team All-Pro to, It was ugly very, very quickly. You know, we've seen players like Jaire Alexander who played at an all-pro level that have, you know, maybe had some injury issues, the shoulder issue, or have just maybe regressed or whatever it might be, but have not played at that same level since that all-pro season. You know, so these are situations that can come up. There will be players, I guarantee you, there will be players that we were pretty excited about in 2023 that will take a step back in 2024. Unfortunately, there's a bit of human nature that takes over here. If you, especially as a rookie, come into the league, you put some of that work in and it comes pretty easy and you have immediate success, you might think, oh, I got this. I'm a great player already. And I'm just only going to get better. I don't need to necessarily do all that same stuff I did a season ago. You take your foot off the gas a little bit and all of a sudden you're not only a step worse, maybe you're two or three steps worse than what you were a season ago. You take your eye off the ball in this game for an instant, and things change in a hurry. Players are constantly working to get better. Teams are constantly working to get better. If you just stay the same, you are getting worse. You are either green and growing or you're ripe and rotten in this league. And if you don't continue to have your foot on the gas, you will be left behind, period. So which players take that seriously and take that step forward and continue to grow, and which players maybe put it on cruise control a little bit more and take that step back, that's going to be a huge tell on this season as well. And there are some, you know, players that Green Bay can ill afford to take that step backwards. This is a team that's still very young, extremely talented, and hopefully trending in the right direction. They still cannot have any situation where a significant amount of players, or really, you know, even a handful of players, are taking that step backwards. So this coaching staff is going to have to be adamant and on everything that these players continue to progress at the level that they are capable of doing so. And not only that, but you don't necessarily even just want to see status quo. You want to see continuous steps forward. But if we see some regression from some big time players, especially guys in year two, especially with how many players are going to be in year two for this Packers team, that would certainly derail things a bit as well this upcoming season. Number five, maybe transitioning to a new defense is harder than it sounds. We know there's going to be some bumps in the road with the defense. It's just natural. That's going to happen. It's not just all of a sudden going to go from Joe Barry to, oh, we've got a top five defense. That was easy. Just all we had to do is hire Jeff Hafley. If that were the case, every time the Packers hired a new special teams coordinator, we should have expected a top five special teams. It doesn't work that way. We were all excited about Rich Bisaccia and what he was going to be able to do, and we have yet to see those results. We're in year three now of Bisaccia, and the first 2 years left us still a lot to be desired. It takes more than just bringing in a new coach. Now, they also brought in an Edgerrin Cooper, brought in a Tyron Hopper. They're getting some corners back, specifically Eric Stokes that they didn't have. Carrington Valentine looks to take that jump in year two. Brought in Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Kitano Ladapo. So there's reason to believe, there's reason to be hopeful, but if this defense isn't as advertised, if Jeff Hafley takes a little bit of time to get acclimated back to the NFL, if this aggressive style of football gets burnt deep a lot and gives up a ton of explosive plays, will Green Bay have the patience and the understanding to stick with it a little bit more? Are they going to abort and abandon ship, you know, and have to try something different, maybe somewhere more in the middle? All those things are worth noting, worth questioning. This defense looks exciting on paper. They look like they should be able to compete. But if there are any setbacks, or the defense just is more run-of-the-mill 17th, 18th defense, 15th, 16th defense, is that a good enough jump? I don't think it is. I think this defense, if this team wants to be a true legitimate contender, I think they need to be a lot better than that. And that's a tall task for a, you know, new defensive coordinator in the NFL. So again, there could be a variety of things that don't go well. Maybe the single high safety doesn't work. Maybe some of the rookies don't fit into this defense as well as we were hoping them to. Maybe guys like Stokes and Jair don't get back to the form they were. Like, who knows? There's a lot. There's a lot that could go into this as to whether or not this defense could be better, worse, same, whatever. But if they are anywhere near sort of this Joe Barry level of defense that we saw, I'm not saying stylistically, I'm saying results-wise, you're just in the, you're treading water at best. So this defense needs to be better. Jeff Hafley has to find a way to make it better. If there's any hiccups there whatsoever, not only will this team not be what you want it to be, there's a chance it could be worse. And again, that's another thing to keep an eye on. Number six, more abysmal special teams and or kicking issues. We just talked about it. Rich Bisaccia is in year three now. The first 2 years, not great. Certainly not great. Not even average. That's, again, all we're asking for in special teams. But if you end up, is the old adage, if you have three kickers, you really have none. If they can't figure out a kicker in that kicking situation, and hopefully somebody that can come in and consistently make 45 and under field goals, and at least have a puncher's chance of making 46 and above, that's going to take some points off the board. That's going to really cost you through the course of the season. How this team covers kicks with the new kick return rules will be, you know, massively important. They've had punt block issues. They've had a variety of different problems on special teams, and it has cost them in huge ways. The special teams remains bad, or if it gets worse, again, this is going to be a team that it's going to put too much tax on the offense and the defense to try to win it when you have an abysmal special teams. So they need to take a step in the right direction, or again, you're going to be left wanting a little bit more for this Packers team overall. Number seven, does the Aaron Jones to Josh Jacobs transition mirror the Drew Holiday to Damian Lillard transition that happened in Milwaukee? Milwaukee had Drew Holiday. They went out and chased the shiny new toy, the one that they thought was going to be more explosive, better for their offense, better for the team overall. Obviously, Drew Holiday ends up in Boston. He wins a championship, goes to their rival, and Damian Lillard and the Bucks don't work out as expected. Now, injuries played a part in that. We don't need to get into all of that. Doesn't really matter. But you can understand there was a situation where, again, they kind of wanted the shiny new toy, and it just didn't work out the way that they expected. Could that be the case in Green Bay? They had Aaron Jones. They had reliable, because he just missed a bunch of games, but the guy that you knew when he was in the game, you could count on him in a significant way. You knew exactly what you were getting. And Green Bay said, we're going to chase something a little bit younger, a little bit fresher, a little bit sexier. You know, they had a little bit of the wandering eye, and they go and get Josh Jacobs. They release Aaron Jones, and of course, like Drew Holiday, he ends up in a roundabout way. I know Holiday was technically traded to the Blazers and then to Boston after that, but in this case, Packers release Aaron Jones, and of course, where are you required to go if you're released by a Green Bay Packer? You have to go into the division, so he goes to the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I don't have any real fear that Aaron Jones is going to pull a Drew Holiday and win a championship. I don't really have any concern over that. But I'm more concerned from a Packers standpoint. If Jacobs doesn't live up to being an Aaron Jones type of runner, and that move turns out backfiring a little bit, that could be something that, again, makes you worse. Now, even if Jacobs is worse than Jones, doesn't really, live up to expectations, he could still be better than the games that they didn't have Aaron Jones a season ago when they were relying a lot on AJ Dillon. They could still be a lot better with Jacobs than that. But if they want this offense to run the way that it should, that it could, that they want it to, then they need Jacobs to really produce and be at or better than the level of what Aaron Jones was a season ago when he was on the field, when he was healthy. That's going to be a tall task. Aaron Jones was really fantastic when he was in there. Josh Jacobs had a little bit of a tough season with the Raiders, albeit behind a rough offensive line, no real, threat of a passing attack at times. So it's going to be different for Jacobs, but they need him to produce. And if he doesn't, again, this could be a situation where you try to get cute with it a little bit, maybe a little too cute, and it ends up backfiring on you. Number eight, the lack of an evolution on offense. I'm not super concerned about this, but I do think this Matt LaFleur offense is pretty in vogue in the NFL right now. We see it a little bit with Kyle Shanahan. Sean McVay is a little bit different, but you see a lot of the same similar concepts, and it's kind of taken off throughout the course of the NFL. The NFL is sort of as a way of being cyclical with this stuff. And just as a specific style of offense gets popular, defenses immediately start to, or maybe not immediately, but they start to figure it out. They learn how to shut it down. And then you better be on the next step of what the new offensive, surge is going to be. Or again, you kind of get left behind. And with the Packers, this offense now, it's been working pretty darn well. And I guarantee you teams are studying it. They're figuring out what the best ways to stop it are. They're going to make sure that Green Bay does not have an easy path to easy offense in 2024. Now, I credit Matt LaFleur a lot for constantly evolving, becoming better, adding things to his playbook, removing things from his playbook. He's pretty good at that stuff. But if there is any hesitancy, if there's any, if maybe Jordan wants to do a lot of the same stuff that worked a season ago, whatever it might be, again, you could end up with an offense that the defense, around the NFL starts to figure out a little bit more. And you could just find a bigger challenge in this upcoming season if your offense does not, in fact, evolve and become a new iteration of what you had in 2023. Number nine, maybe some defensive coordinator or some defense somewhere finds a Jordan Love kryptonite. It usually happens to pretty much every quarterback at some point. Some defensive coordinator puts together a game plan that takes Jordan Love out of his element, takes him out of his game, and you see him really struggle. And then what happens inherently, logically, every other defensive coordinator copies and pastes control C, control V, and utilizes that exact same game plan against Jordan Love until they figure it out. Now, the great news is defensive coordinators tried a lot against Jordan Love in 2023 once he got going and couldn't really figure out anything. But they're going to keep trying. They're going to keep trying new and different and unique things. And if one defensive coordinator does figure something out and it takes the Packers and Love and Matt LaFleur, you know, 5-6 weeks to get it figured out or longer, well, that's going to set you back quite a bit. So it's going to be paramount that Love is ready for anything and everything, that the Packers, if some defensive coordinator does find a pathway to success, that they quickly have a counter to it and know exactly how to take advantage of what, you know, other defensive coordinators are going to try to do, utilizing whatever it is that they figured out could potentially work against Jordan Love. Number 10, a run defense that just doesn't improve. It's been a bad run defense for a long time now. And I've talked about this before, but you have a situation in which your core run defenders, the vast majority of them, are the same. You've got the same four edge guys. You've got the same interior defensive linemen. You've got Quay Walker as the key linebacker returning. The only new addition in your front seven is, you know, that's going to probably play significant playing time is Edgerrin Cooper. That's asking a lot of just be like, yep, Edgerrin Cooper's going to come in for Devondre Campbell and now the run defense is better. It's going to take everyone. Now, I know they're playing a new style of defense. You know, defensive ends will have their hand in the dirt. There could easily be an extra safety in the box far more often than not to help support the run defense a little bit more. There's going to be things that they do to change things up and make it harder to run, but it's a lot of the same talent and a lot of the same talent that's been given up a lot of yards on the ground for a while now. So I do think Edgerrin Cooper will help. I do think Xavier McKinney in the back end will help. But it's going to take everyone else stepping up and playing a better brand of run defense, or you're still going to see teams running on this team, getting into easy down and distances, which takes you out of your blitz packages, takes you out of your rush lanes, like your ability to just get up the field and rush. All those things could be an issue, especially for a defensive coordinator and Jeff Hafley, who wants to be more aggressive in his mentality. If you want to be aggressive, you better get teams in third and long. Then that's your opportunity to do so. If it's a bunch of third and one, third and two, third and three, that's going to change up your approach. And that's not going to be where Jeff Hafley wants to be with this particular defense and how he wants to run it. Number 11 is just an improved division. I actually think Detroit did get a little bit better, specifically fixing that secondary, Rakestraw, Terry Arnold in the draft. I think they're going to be pretty good in that defensive backfield, which is a change for them. I think they could easily at least stay the same, if not take a step forward. I think Chicago took a pretty significant step forward. And while Minnesota, you might say on paper, got, you know, maybe worse losing Kirk Cousins and whatnot, they didn't have Kirk Cousins for the entirety of the season. And they're going to now have a more competent quarterback, in my opinion, than the, you know, Jaren Halls of the world and all the different backup quarterbacks that they had to run with at the end of last season after Kirk Cousins injured himself in the Packers game. So I do think that the Vikings are set up to be the fourth place team in the division, but they could be better just by default because they played so many games without Kirk Cousins and had to go with backup quarterbacks a season ago. So I do expect the division to be better. And then last but not least, number 12 on my list, struggles along the offensive line. I still think that's the way that this offense gets derailed. If this offensive line is great, this offense is going to be a top five. I totally, absolutely believe that. But if you can only trust Jenkins and Zach Tom and Myers doesn't take a step, if Sean Ryan doesn't take a step, if Rashid Walker doesn't take a step and Jordan Morgan's not quite ready to go, you end up with some injuries along the offensive line, depth becomes an issue. I could easily see it being something that really kind of stalls out this Packers offense at times. And if it does, that's certainly going to change your expectations and it could make it where, again, you don't have quite as good of a 2024 as you did in 2023. So in recap, there are a lot of different things that could derail this Packers team in 2024. Injuries, expectations, an increase in turnovers, the giveaways, regression, transitioning to a new defense maybe doesn't go quite as well as you were hoping it to, a more abysmal special teams and kicking, Aaron Jones to Josh Jacobs not working out the way that you expected it to, a lack of evolution on offense. Defense is finding a Jordan Love kryptonite. Run defense is, you know, not improving for the Packers, and they continue to be an issue, setting up a lot of third and shorts. Improved division overall, and then struggles on the offensive line. Those are all things that, in my opinion, could make it that this Packers team is not as good in 2024. Do I personally believe that the Packers are going to regress? I don't. I really don't. Could they stay the same? Yeah. Could they regress? Yeah. Do I think they're going to get better? I do. I really, truly do. I think they're going to be a better team in 2024. But these are all things that the Packers are going to have to be better at. These are all things that could derail them. They're all things that we should kind of be keeping an eye out for if we want to see if this team actually can make a run this upcoming season. Last but not least here, I do think that, you know, we've talked a little bit about the vibe of this team. Vibe's not going to win you anything in June. It's just not. But I do think that how this team prepares, how they're focused on football, how they care about the game, how they're showing up to practices, even the non-mandatory ones, I do think that even if some of these issues rear their ugly head, this is a team that's motivated. They're doing a lot of the right things for the right reasons, and they're pumped up and jacked up for a season in which they know they have the ability to go and compete in. So that gives me the hope that this is a team that, even if adversity does strike, this is a team that has the ability to overcome it. And that gives me so much hope for 2024. And that's my ultimate reason why I do believe they're not going to be a regressed team. They're not going to be a team that takes a step back. But if you're looking for reasons why they could, I think we covered those today. And now it's up to the Packers to minimize as many of those as possible and hopefully make a couple of those things into strengths, or at least non-factors, as they go into this season. That is going to do it for me today. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll be right back here tomorrow going over realistic expectations for the Packers. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Dan Gesford. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Packo.